If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 19. If you're new to Dallas Foursquare Church, if you've been here just kind of in the last month or so, you may not know that we have actually been in a series through the book of Acts for over a year now. We started in January of 2016, and if you don't realize that or haven't known that, you're like, well, I've been here for a while. I didn't know you guys were in the series of Acts. It's because it's been over a month since I've been up here and been able to share the word with you. On April 4th, I went into surgery, which was supposed to be a outpatient surgery, but I ended up spending 17 days in the hospital because of a tear on my spine that caused a spinal fluid leak and just weakness and things that have kept me from being here. And so now, 33 days later, I'm finally back. Almost back to normal. Just sitting down today because just my strength and weakness. You don't realize how being out that long and on your back for so long, how it drains you. And so I've been feeling weak, but God's kind of been bringing healing, and I just keep getting stronger and stronger. And so I just want to say this in the midst of thank you. Can I just say this? I've missed you guys. I have. You know that old saying? I didn't miss you, Brian, but just kidding. But you know that old saying, you don't realize what you have until it's gone? Guess what? I realized what I had, okay? I've always realized what I have here, which makes being gone hurt that much more, you know. I love you guys, and I've truly missed getting to share God's word with you, and I just want you to know that. All right, so I'm going to quit blubbering here this morning, and let's get back to our series in Acts. As we've been walking through the book of Acts, I honestly have to tell you, I have tried to do my best to decrease and to really try to discover God's intent through the scriptures. Because I know that when I was young and early in ministry, especially in youth ministry, there were times when I would have things that I wanted to say, and I would try to twist and to make the scripture work to say what I wanted it to say. And if I'm honest, I know that there are times that I would try to make the scripture say something that it really probably wasn't saying. And I know that there are a lot of pastors out there that do that. They take scripture and they try to use this scripture out of context to make it work with what they want to say. And so now my heart and desire as a pastor is to figure out, what is God saying in these scriptures, both to the original hearers of this word, you know, some thousands of years ago, and then to us today. What is God saying to us today? How does it apply to us? And so that's my heart and desire as we walk through these scriptures. And so I want to begin to look at this passage in Acts 19 this morning and just do my best to hear the Lord and allow Him to speak through me this morning in these scriptures. And so if you have your Bible, you can follow along with me as we're going to read Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. Acts 19, 1 through 7 says this: while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and he arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Well then, what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized then in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Now, when I last spoke over a month ago, we had wrapped up chapter 18. And if you were here at that time, you might remember that that is where we first heard of Apollos here in that was in Corinth. And I want to actually share a scripture with you from Acts 18. And tell me if there isn't something about this scripture that is similar to the passage we just read. Okay, so this was a month ago when I was last here. Acts 18:25. It's talking about Apollos, but listen to what it says about Apollos. It says, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor, and he taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. Sound familiar to what we read this morning? At the end of chapter 18, we hear about Apollos. And now at the beginning of chapter 19, we hear about these disciples in Ephesus. And both of them, they're familiar with a baptism of John, but not the other baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things I've kind of learned and that I've come to understand about Scripture is that when it repeats itself so quickly, especially in Scriptures, that often means God is trying to make sure that we catch it, right? That we don't miss something. And I believe in this case that God is wanting to make sure that both the people who heard this word back some thousands of years ago, but also that us today, that we don't miss the second baptism. There were people who were hearing about Jesus. They were hearing how he died and rose again, how he conquered sin and death, how he paid the price for their sins. They heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. They heard about the baptism of John, this baptism of repentance. You know, we do it up here, right? We have baptisms. We're going to have another one here soon. But you know, that baptism where we go into the water and back up, and it's that reminder of we die to ourselves and rise up alive in Christ. They've heard of that baptism. But they aren't familiar with the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Paul is talking about here to the people of Ephesus. And here's the thing, there are a lot of Christians even today that are familiar with water baptism. But they're not familiar, just like these people, with the second baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so this is what's happening here in these scriptures this morning. They're beginning to be made aware of this amazing gift, this wonderful thing that God has given to His people. Listen to verses 5 and 6 again as I read them. When Paul realized that they hadn't heard of the second baptism, listen to what it says. Verses 5 and 6. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. Now I know that just the mentioning of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the mentioning of tongues and prophecy, can cause some people in church to get a little uncomfortable. Oh boy, here we go. Honey, I don't think we're coming to this place again. And it can be a very uncomfortable thing. And that's because there have been churches and people who over the years have abused these things. We've seen it time and time again. Abused. And maybe not intentionally. I don't believe that everybody. I think there are some that do. But I think there are a lot of people that it's not intentionally. But I can tell you what happens and why it happens, at least from my belief and my perspective. You see, because God does still move in the power of the Holy Spirit today, okay? Because we know, if you see as you walk in here, that scripture, the scripture of Foursquare, it's supposed to be in every sanctuary or near every sanctuary, right as you walk in our sanctuary, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, okay? So God moves in the power of the Spirit today. And He does some powerful things in churches and in services and in different places and different moments. And people are impacted by the move of the Spirit. That's happened. We've seen it over the years. But what do we do then? Right? When you know, a pastor is up here and God moves and this powerful thing happens. And so what do we do? What does that pastor do? They try to recreate it the next week. Right? We try to recreate it. Oh, that was so amazing. We got to have it happen again. And we try to recreate it. We try to figure out how do we get that to happen again. And so we try to do the same thing. I think I had my hands up and I was, you know, we try to figure out what was going on. Oh, wait, man, he put his hands on my head hard and something happened. And so we start doing those kind of things. Or maybe the Spirit moved and we kind of laughed because it was such a powerful thing. Oh, laughing. We just got to laugh and God's Spirit will come upon us. We try to recreate these things. Are you tracking with me here? We try to make them happen again. And I know we've all probably been difficult. I am difficult. Don't point to people next to you. I see some of you. They're difficult. We've all made this mistake. I don't know where difficult came from. We've all made this mistake at some times in our life. I'll blame it on the drugs I'm on for my back, okay? Where am I? Is this church? We've all probably made this mistake at times. We felt God in some way and we try to recreate it, right? But here's the thing. We try to do these crazy things and maybe at first God's still moving and powerful, but we try to just keep doing it and we do these things and then next thing we know, God's no longer in it. And instead, it's just us looking like idiots. And now, scaring other people away from the move of the Spirit. And it's happened in churches and groups and places all over. And so that's why there are so many people that when they hear the move of the Spirit or talk about the Holy Spirit or prophecy or tongues or those things, like, oh no, I don't want anything to do with that. I've seen the craziness. I've seen people out of control. And it's because it was people, not God. It wasn't the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so I know that this can be an intimidating thing for some people. But this morning I want to try to decrease and allow the Lord to share with you in a way that's not intimidating. In the way that God meant the power of the Holy Spirit to work. In the way that we see Paul and Peter and these amazing disciples operating in this flow of the Spirit. Because after all, it's a beautiful gift, right? The Lord said, go and wait for the gift that the Father has for you. It's a beautiful gift from the Lord. It's something that's supposed to be wonderful and attractive, not scary and repelling. And so let's talk about it this morning. We first hear reference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Matthew 3:11, where John the Baptist is telling the people, he's telling them this, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, and he's speaking about Jesus, he's speaking about the Lord, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then Jesus himself says the same thing in Acts 1, right? It's been about a year and 4 months since we've been in Acts 1, right? But in Acts 1, Jesus says the same thing in Acts 1:5 when he says, "For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." As they were told to go and to wait for this gift, right? And so I want to look at that scripture in Acts 2. As they were waiting in the upper room, when then the Holy Spirit moved for the first time. And I think this is one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible because it means so much for us in our lives if we take hold of it. And so in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, I want to read them to you. We're going to put them up on the screen this morning. They say this: "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." This is all the disciples and apostles who had come together and who were believing in Jesus Christ and His resurrection. And in verse 2 it says, "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them." In verse 4, "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." It is at this moment that they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the first time. No longer was it just Emmanuel, Christ with us. He's now in us. God Himself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, 3 in 1. This is such a hard thing for us to understand, but it's a part of God, the Holy Spirit, that now lives in us and moves through the power of the Holy Spirit to give us strength. And I say that because I want to clarify something, because it can be confusing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, at times when people talk about it, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or as it's sometimes referred to as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this is different from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. People are like, "What did he just say?" But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is different from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that actually happens when we accept Jesus into our life, when we get saved. You know, that's why we say, you want to ask Jesus into your heart, because it's this idea of Him coming, right? Just an indwelling in us. As Christians, we believe that when we accept Jesus, the Spirit comes and dwells inside of us. That's what we call it, the indwelling of the Spirit. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's different. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we see in Acts 2 is kind of like an added bonus, right? Don't you like added bonuses? Yeah, all right. It's oftentimes kind of special gifts or maybe even just a little kind of encouragement or a nudge to help us at certain times or moments in our lives. I think oftentimes it strengthens us, it empowers us to be the men or women of God that He's called us to be for that moment and that time. Or like Jesus says in Acts 1:8, it's that extra power that we need to be His witnesses to the ends of the earth, right? When I talked about the Holy Spirit to my youth back in the days, I used to compare the Holy Spirit. I used to use this illustration where I would talk about, you know, those TV shows or the TV shows that are about remodeling houses or redoing someone's car, fixing their car up, you know, where they surprise someone or whatever, and they do this huge makeover on the house or on their car. And when they've seen it, they bring them and they're like, you know, checking out the house. "Look at this room, you know, or check out what we did here. Look at the wheels," or, you know, as they're showing them either the house or the car, and they're looking at all these things and they're checking them out. And just when they think it's done and the show is about to be over, they say, "But wait, there's more," right? "Wait, you haven't seen this yet. There's this extra thing that they want to show to them." I believe that's kind of what the Lord does with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that's an amazing thing, Christ that's in us. But it's like God is saying, but wait, I want to give you more. I want you to experience not just Him in you, but the power of Him operating through you. I want to give you some gifts that will strengthen and empower you as men and women of God to do the things I've called you to do. In Acts 2, the disciples were faithful to go, right, and to wait for this gift. And then we saw there the Lord fulfilled His promise and filled them with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you see there at the end that I read that wonderful and miraculous things began to happen in and through their lives. And here's the thing. I don't think that for them it was freaky or scary in any way. And that's because it was the power of God at work in and through them. And I think, you know, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, one of the most common gifts that we see as a result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is this great boldness. We see a great example. If we were to continue reading Acts 2, we'd see an example of that with Peter. After the Holy Spirit fell on them, this amazing thing happened to Peter. And it's interesting when we talk about Peter, right? Because when we talk about Peter in the Bible, you know, what do we tend to remember most about Peter? We tend to remember how he denied Jesus, right? When Jesus was being persecuted and facing death on the cross, Peter denied that he ever knew Jesus. And it wasn't just one time. Three times, right? Jesus is being crucified and people are like, weren't you the guy that used to hang out with? I never knew him. Three times Peter denied Jesus. And that was after telling Jesus, I will die for you. I will do whatever I have to for you. And now he denies him. That's how we often tend to remember Peter, right? But in Acts 2 here, a few chapters later, Peter is no longer denying Jesus. He is standing up in front of thousands of people, some of the same people that crucified Jesus. And he begins to share the message of the gospel without fear, without doubt. What was different? What was different about Peter? The difference is that Peter had now experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in his life that enabled him to speak with authority, to speak with power, to be encouraged, and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that God desires to give us that same kind of boldness and authority in our lives, because He desires to pour out His Spirit upon all of us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit wasn't just for the disciples back then. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, wants to pour out His Spirit upon our lives. And the thing we have to understand, though, about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, about the movement of the Holy Spirit, is that it may look different for each of us. When God moves upon our life, He doesn't move in the same way. He doesn't give the same gifts all the time to the same people. The baptism of the Holy Spirit can show itself in many different ways. Paul actually talks about these ways in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. If you want to study them a little deeper later, I'm going to talk about these things, the things that Paul describes as some of the outpourings of the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned earlier, the boldness, one of the most common things we see, or in another word, what Paul uses is an increased faith. This amazing faith that comes, you know, not just your typical faith, but this amazing faith in God. It's a gift of the Spirit. And so that boldness is probably one of the most common ones we see. God moves that way in a lot of us when we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. But there are many gifts. And I want to share with you some of those this morning and talk about them and let you know that they're not weird. They're not freaky. They're not scary. They're of the Lord. One of the gifts that Paul talks about is words of wisdom. This, I believe, is where God may give us words to say to someone that may give them maybe guidance, wisdom, kind of direction about something that maybe they were wondering about or struggling with. And the interesting thing about words of wisdom, I think that's probably one of the gifts that we operate at or that we operate in at times and we don't even realize it. Have you ever had someone, maybe you're talking, they've gone through a difficult time and they're sharing what they've been struggling in the Lord, and you have one of those moments where they're sharing something and then all of a sudden there's this scripture that comes to mind and these words, and you begin to share with them and you speak to them, and then afterwards you're kind of like, wow, that was pretty good. Where did that come from, right? Let me tell you, it didn't come from you. It's the Holy Spirit giving you those words, the wisdom to speak to someone that you didn't even know, right? Quit taking credit for it, okay? It's the Lord working in you. I think that is one of those things that oftentimes we do and don't even realize. And so words of wisdom, that's one of those gifts that God gives us through the power of the Holy Spirit when we're operating in Him. Another gift Paul talks about is words of knowledge. And this, I believe, is where the Holy Spirit may give us knowledge, supernaturally, gives us knowledge of things that we wouldn't otherwise know about. And I think an example might be the Lord telling you to go and say something to someone. I had this one time when I was in a coffee shop. I saw this lady and the Lord said, I want you to go say this to this person. I'm thinking, okay, that's not God. That's what did I have this morning for breakfast? I haven't had breakfast this morning. My stomach's like, you know, gurgling and doing anything. That can't be God, you know. And I remember sitting there going, I'm going to look like an idiot. This lady's going to look up at me and go, okay, thanks, crazy man, you know. And I'm sitting there like, okay, you know. But I went and I just shared. And she goes, oh my goodness, you just don't even know what that means to me. And the Lord will just give us words of knowledge to maybe speak to someone that we don't even know why. But it speaks to them. And it's something that you couldn't have known on your own. But the Holy Spirit puts it on your heart. And He gives it to you to share. It's an amazing thing. Another one of the gifts is the gift of prophecy. And I believe this is where the Holy Spirit may give us kind of a glimpse or a word about something that has not yet happened. Something that is maybe yet to take place in someone's life. Maybe it's to warn someone, or maybe it's to warn us. The Lord gives us something prophetic, like, oh man, I need to not do that. Or perhaps it's to encourage someone. Something that God is wanting to do in them. To speak into them. I mean, like I said, the Lord gave me the word of, I'm calling you to be a youth pastor. That's a prophetic word. And it's something that from that point forward, it hadn't happened yet. But I knew, I started looking in my life of, okay, God, I feel like that is a word that you've given me, a prophetic word. And I'm gonna do my best to strive to see that happen, that you've called that into my life. And that's why I began to do things, crazy things. I went into the military trying to get money for college. But in there, I got connected with youth ministry, became an associate youth pastor and kind of the apprentices process. Met my wife and it was this amazing thing. Started doing ministry. And who knew? But it was because I was looking towards this prophetic word that God had put in my life to encourage me, to help me go along the way and the plans that He had for me. And I know there have been times where in camp where maybe God's given a speaker a prophetic word over a kid and said, man, God says He wants to use you in this way. And it's not this freaky, weird thing. It's God moving powerfully through His Spirit. Another gift is healing. The gift of healing. This is a gift that we see in Paul and Peter, man, it was powerfully given to them in the Scriptures, right? They healed people. I mean, as they would lay hands on people who were healed, and they didn't even need to lay hands. I love it. You know, Peter, just his shadow, right? And then Paul later, handkerchiefs they were taking that he touched and giving those handkerchiefs to people, and people were being healed. You know, this is a powerful gift that God uses. And I believe God still empowers people with this gift today. I experienced that. When I first got to Newburgh, it was really interesting. These people walked in, the pastor was gone. I was still this young, you know, I was a youth pastor / associate pastor, you know, really more the youth pastor than the associate. And someone came in and the pastor wasn't there, and I need prayer. I've got this issue with stomach issues and this and that. And I said, well, let me pray for you. And I laid my hands on her. I didn't know. And she came back there. After you laid, I felt this weird thing and I was healed. I've been healed. And so she started telling people, go to Pastor Darren, man, have him pray for you. And there were a couple different people that I prayed for and was healed, you know, and I've seen that. And here's the thing, you know, I've seen that, and sometimes I lay hands on people and they don't get healed. And so there are times it's the Lord. And just because I healed at that time doesn't mean that I'll always be able to lay hands and heal, you know. That's a lot of things with these gifts, you know. This is where it gets crazy. People are like, wow, I had this prophetic word. I'm a prophet now. As if everything now that I speak is of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Half the time it's like, no. Lord did not say that. Let me just speak that right now, you know. And so that's where it gets weird and freaky. When we start with, I'm a healer now. Come to me, you know. And God may work through me at times, and other times He may not. He may work through surgeons and through other ways. And that's the thing. The power of the Holy Spirit is such an amazing, wonderful thing. We're the ones that mess it up. And that's where we have to be careful and continue to seek the Lord. And then probably the most controversial gifts, the gifts of tongues. And I say that because it's the one that seems to freak people out the most. Oh, my goodness. Do you hear those people that they are like saying weird things out their mouth as they're praying? I'm out of here, right? I mean, it's kind of this freaky thing for a lot of people. And so let me just share. It shouldn't scare us. And I want to first say this. We have to understand that there are two types of tongues that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12. There is the tongue that is referring to one's spiritual language, okay? And then there's something known as tongues and interpretations. And I want to kind of share with those kind of give you the definition of those and what those look like. I'll start with the spiritual language, tongues. And that's pretty self-explanatory, I think. It's this supernatural language that the Holy Spirit gives us that is really for us. It's not for other people. It's for us. It's to strengthen our connection and relationship with the Lord. And it allows us to pray to the Lord in a language that's not our own. And oftentimes isn't anybody else's language in the world. And I say oftentimes because I will share an illustration with you later where it can be another language, okay? But it's really allowing the Holy Spirit to kind of speak through us. Whereas we just operate in that gift, the Lord begins to kind of give us this language that isn't our own language. And it just flows from us. I use my spiritual language when I'm praying, and I don't know how to pray. Oftentimes when I'm praying, and maybe it's something that, man, you know, maybe someone's been sick for a while, or I just don't really know, and I'm just like, man, Lord, I want you to move, and I don't know how to pray. It's like I've used all the words I can use. And then the Lord begins to just speak through my spiritual language, and I don't really even know what I'm praying, but I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit probably knows how to pray better than I do, right? And it's the Holy Spirit praying through me. And it's this beautiful thing that the Lord gives me. And again, it's one of the gifts that Paul talks about being given to us to strengthen and edify our relationship with the Lord. And I think it probably does that because it takes great faith to trust that it's a spiritual language and not us just uttering a bunch of gibberish. Because sometimes it can be scary. Because honestly, when I first received the gift of tongues, I was pretty young. And I struggled with whether I was just making it up or not. Wait, is this really the Lord? Or am I making it up? And I struggled with that until my dad shared his experience with me. My dad, as I was talking with him about that, I said, "Man, Dad, I don't know. Is it really my spiritual language, or am I just like making up words? You know, am I just like blah, 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 you know?" And my dad told me how he used to doubt his spiritual language until one time in church years ago. And I know this was like back in 78, 79, because it was when we went to Faith Center and it was in their old gym. And just because of the time, I knew where it was. And he said it was a Sunday night service. You know, Sunday night services, it's more believers around. They do things a little bit differently. And they were kind of having a prayer time of lifting up prayer requests. And the pastor said to the congregation, he said, if you have a spiritual language, if God has given you that gift of a spiritual language, I just want you, just right where you're at amongst yourself, just lift up that language to the Lord as we just pray for the situation. And so my dad just began to pray in his spiritual language. And it was after the service where a Native American man came up to my dad and he said, "When you were praying earlier, when the pastor said to pray in your spiritual language, did you know what you were praying?" And my dad said, "No, I was just praying in my spiritual language." And he said, "Because you were speaking my native language." Can you imagine? Man, such a powerful thing. Everyone asked my dad, "Well, did you ask him what he said?" But my dad said he kind of felt like there was the Lord spoke to this man, and he didn't want to get in the way of that. Through that thing. But this is that kind of thing. That's what happened in Acts 2. If you remember in Acts 2, as they began to speak in tongues, right? They began to speak in all different languages. And there were these people from all over that were like, "How are these Jews all speaking our languages?" Right? And so it does happen that way at times, where God speaks through us. And it may be some other language. We don't know. But sometimes it's just us speaking in the power of the Lord. But after that night, my dad said he never doubted again. And I then began to not doubt and just began to let the Spirit flow through me in those times when I wanted to pray or where I felt God was calling me to pray in my spiritual language. The gift of tongues is a spiritual language. I think it's a real thing and it's a powerful thing to help us grow in the Lord. But then there's the gift of tongues and interpretations. And this is the one sometimes that gets us into trouble because we get in the way again, right? The gift of tongues and interpretations is when someone, whether it's in a church setting, in a group of people, you know, a prayer meeting, wherever, it's where one person will share a tongue where they'll just say, "I feel like I have a tongue the Lord wants me to share," and they'll speak this tongue. And then someone gives an interpretation. This is what that. Now, they might not know like, "Oh, yeah, I know that's my native language." It's not like that. It's again the Lord speaking through this other person who begins to interpret. And it's often just words of encouragement that Lord wants to speak to maybe the whole group of people, maybe certain people in that room. And it's meant to encourage people, to build people up. But here's the thing about tongues and interpretations is that a tongue is not to be given unless there is an interpretation. And this is where we get in trouble in church because people, God gives them a tongue one week. Like I told you, the gifts God sometimes gives, right? And sometimes you'll have them and sometimes that's not what the Lord. The Lord, "Oh, here, now I have this or that." God, it's up to the Lord. But look, someone gives a tongue and it's like, "Oh, people come out, oh, so thank you for sharing that tongue. And it was a wonderful thing." And they like it. Oh, so all of a sudden in service, they speak up again and start, you know, yada, 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 you know, whatever. And then is there an interpretation? And there's not. Or then someone's like, "Oh, I better make an interpretation." So they say stuff and it's not God. And then people start going, man, this is weird. I'm out of this church. And it starts freaking people out. It's got to be of the Lord. And that's why if something like that were to happen in this church, is someone would need to come to me and say, hey, Darren, I feel like I have a tongue the Lord wants to share. And then what I would do is say, all right, just a sec. Hey, we have someone that here feels like they have a tongue that they're supposed to share. Is there anybody in the church that feels like God wants to give them an interpretation? And if I look around and hands are like this, sorry, we're not going to share that tongue. And maybe someone's not stepping up over here, but I'm not going to take that chance of something not being what God said it was supposed to be, because a tongue should always come with an interpretation. And I've seen it in Newburgh. I love it. It was the first time I ever saw it, because I saw it abused in churches. And the first time I remember, our pastor, woman came up and he said, does anybody have an interpretation? And he said, I'm sorry, we're not going to move forward. We're not going to allow you to give that tongue because we don't have an interpretation. And I know she was pretty upset, but I know it was the Lord. She ended up leaving the church later over it, you know. And so it's got to be the Lord. We have to trust in Him. Now, I know I just poured upon you a lot of information this morning. But these are the gifts that the Lord gives to His people through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I wanted you to understand, and I wanted to speak it in a way so you didn't just hear, oh yeah, oh my gosh, these are all those things I've seen abused in churches. I wanted you to understand the heart of the Lord. And I also want you to know this. We're not the ones who decide which gifts we get. I want to be a prophet. I want to be a healer, you know, and that's where we get ourselves in trouble. That's up to the Lord. Our job is just to pray. Our job is to seek the Lord, to seek the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and let God do the rest. Because if we do it, that's when we scare people away. If God does it, people are drawn to it. Now, I'm sure that there are some of us here that might go, well, yeah, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in camp back in 1978. I remember, right? You know, or I received the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, 5 years ago at this revival, whatever. But here's the thing. I believe the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is something that the Lord does again and again. And again, I don't think it's just a one-time thing. And there's proof of that in the Scriptures. If you remember, after they receive the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, they go out and they begin to share the gospel, right? They've been empowered. And they go and you see healing, you know. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And they're operating the power of the Holy Spirit, but it gets them in trouble, right? In Acts 3, they get in trouble. Peter and John are thrown into jail and told, do not preach the gospel of Jesus anymore. And so what happens? They begin to have fear creep back into their life. They begin to have doubt, right? And they begin to get worried. But I want to look at then what happens in Acts chapter 4. We have it to go up on the screen here. Acts 4, 23 through 24 says this. And it's talking about the release of Peter and John. Actually, it says it there. Sorry. On their release, Peter and John, they went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. They were afraid. They were struggling. They were like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? We're going to be thrown in jail. We're going to face these things. So fear. And so they begin to pray. And then in Acts 4:31, it says this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And I say all because these were many of the same people who were filled with the Spirit back in Acts chapter 2. And once again, they're being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is why I believe, and we see it other times in the Scriptures, and it's why I believe it's a continual thing that we need to be seeking from the Lord again and again. And I got to tell you, daily I ask. Daily I'm like, Lord, this morning help me decrease. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit that I may be who you've called me to be this day. That I don't miss the opportunities that you place in front of me. It's a continual thing. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Or are we just walking around with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you know? It's just in there. The Holy Spirit's like, hey, I'm in here. I got all sorts of power. Power that can do amazing things in and through your life if you'll just allow me to be stirred up. Allow me to pour out my Spirit upon you. Because, like I said earlier, the examples we see in Acts 18 and 19, these people who they didn't know about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think there are many believers out there today that maybe experienced water baptism, but they haven't experienced that second baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I heard an illustration years ago. I don't know how old this illustration is, but this little boy, he wanted to go to Disneyland. Little kid, man. He loved Mickey Mouse and Goofy. You know, Goofy's my favorite. I don't know why. You know? But he loved Mickey Mouse. He loved these characters. Daddy, I want to go to Disneyland. He heard about Disneyland, where all the characters were and where they lived. And he was so excited. One day his dad surprised him. Hey, buddy, guess where we're going? We're going to Disneyland. And so this kid was like, yes. He was so excited. And I don't know if you haven't been to Disneyland in California, you know, you got the gates that you go into, and as right as you go in, there's this area where it's kind of like a garden thing up on the thing, but they have flowers and stuff done in patterns that, you know, it's Mickey Mouse's head. And, you know, I remember when it was like their 50th anniversary, whatever it was, I remember like they had this whole 50th anniversary thing or whatever, 75th, I don't remember when it was, but you know, they change it all the time with different flowers and cool things that they put in there, and it's this stuff, but it's just this front area when you first walk in. And a lot of times in that area you got the characters that are there, so when you first come in, you know, people are hugging the characters and taking pictures with the characters, and so they're at, in line, and he sees these characters. Daddy, look, it's Mickey Mouse. And this kid is just excited, and they come into the gates, and he like runs, and he's in line, and he's just like, Daddy, I get to meet Mickey Mouse. And he gets up there and he hugs Mickey Mouse, and his dad, you know, takes a picture. And like I said, this is an old illustration, and so his dad's like, click, right? Click, you know, you getting me here? So he's taking pictures, and then he goes, Dad, Goofy, and he goes and gets in line. And so like the first half hour, man, he's just like hopping in these lines, going to see these characters, and he hugs every one of them and gets pictures with them. And he's like, Daddy, that was so awesome. I want to come to Disneyland again someday. And he's like, I guess we can go now. And his dad's like, you think this is Disneyland? Well, yeah, Dad. Little did this kid know that if you go to the right or to the left, there is this magical kingdom that is far more than just hugging little characters and taking pictures with them. There are rides and amazing things. But here this kid, he was happy and he was content with just getting pictures with these characters. And I share that illustration because there are a lot of people, a lot of Christians in our world who live in that front little area of Disneyland. And they're fine with it. Missing out on so much more that God has for them. The power of the Holy Spirit that enables them to live a life to the fullest, right? As He says, I have come to give you life, life to the fullest, life abundantly. And that happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the question I have to ask you this morning is, are we okay with just living in that front little section of Disneyland? Or do we want to experience more of what God has for us? When was the last time that we sought the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our life to truly be who He's called us to be, to operate in the gifts that He wants to give us? Are we experiencing all that He has for us? Will you pray with me? Worship team, can you come forward? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, as I said, my heart and desire is to not to try to speak what You want, what I want to speak, Lord, but my heart and desire is Your Word to come. That when we look at these Scriptures, we're trying to hear what is it that the Lord wants to speak to us. And Lord, I believe that this morning there are people in this room that they've never experienced that second outpouring. They may not even have realized what it was and what it meant. And Lord, my prayer this morning is that we would understand that there's more than just the baptism of John. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives to empower us and to strengthen us to be the men and women that You've called us to be. To go beyond just going to church and trying to live a good life. It's being, as I talked about earlier with communion, it's Christ in us and the power of the Holy Spirit in us that makes us the hope of glory to those around us, Lord. That allows us to shine in You, that allows us to walk with boldness, that allows us to speak things into people's lives that we couldn't do on our own. To speak words that we wouldn't even know how to say without the power of Your Spirit in our lives, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray this morning for the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray for those that don't know You or that don't know You, period, Lord, would be drawn to You, but also that don't know of that second baptism, that they would seek that of You, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray this word that You would allow us to receive what You desire us to receive. As each of us are at different places in our walk with You, and there's something from this person that You want to speak and something different to this person, and I pray that You allow us to reach into this Word and to pull out the things that You want to speak to us today, Lord. And we give that to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't normally add on to the end of my podcast, but at the end of this prayer, we entered into a time of ministry where we just worshiped the Lord, and at the end of that time of worship, gave an opportunity to pray for those who just wanted to receive this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we just had a beautiful time before the Lord. But I wanted to say this. You don't have to be in a church service to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's a matter of you just where you're at, taking time to come before the Lord and to seek Him and to say, God, I want more of You. Pour Your Spirit out upon me. And so I encourage you, if after listening to this message, you felt just this desire that you want more, then seek the Lord, ask God to pour out His Spirit upon you, that you might experience the gifts of His Spirit in your life. And let me say this, in that moment God might come upon you and you might experience something, or you may not. But it's a matter of trusting that this God who loves you, this God who has given opportunity for these gifts, it's trusting that He wants to pour them into your life. And so I continue, whether you feel something or not, to just continue to seek Him and trust that He will allow those gifts to arise in you in the right moments and in the right times. Amen. God bless.